Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Basra Daf Zayin. We are holding on Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Hanhu Beitrei, there were these two fellows, Reuben and Shimon, the Habudairi. They lived in the same house, so they split the house into two. He lived on the main floor, he lived on the second floor. Rashi learns, they were two brothers, let's say, who inherited their father's two-family home. So Reuben took the main floor apartment, and Shimon the second floor apartment. Davodairi chad havadair iloi. Shimon was living upstairs, v'chad, and the other fellow, Reuben, havadair tatoi, lived on the main floor. And one fine day, itvas tatoi, suddenly Reuben notices that his floor, his main floor apartment, is slowly sinking into the ground and diminishing his living space. So Reuben turns to the upstairs fellow, Shimon. He says, would you mind rebuilding the house? Come, let's rebuild the house. So Shimon responds rather coolly, I'm living fine and dandy upstairs. I don't need to rebuild the home. So Reuben makes another offer. Look, I'll pay for the expenses. I'll pay for demolishing and rebuilding expenses. Amar Lay, so Shimon responds, well, no, I'm not going to cooperate with that. Leslie Duchta Lemeidarbo, I don't have where to live. I don't have a replacement home. Amar Lay, so Reuben tells him, he offered him further. He says, I'll rent you a place to live. Amar Lay, Shimon responds, Lay Tzurach, no, I'm not interested in going through the whole moving, process. So Reuben responds, look, I can't live down there. It's impossible. So he says to him, he says, bow down down to your stomach, basically. And go in like that. And you'll bend again down to get out of the house. So it seems like the main issue here was the doorway, amongst other things. So in any case, that was his... a very inconsiderate response. He says, work it out. Get in there, get out, figure it out. Amar Rav Chama, surprise, surprise, says Rav Chama, Bedina Kama Akiv. Inasmuch as Shimon perhaps should be accommodating Reuven's issues, but if you look at the strict halacha, Bedina Kama Akiv, Shimon can hold back Reuven from renovating the home. But that's only up to a point. Matu Kishuri Lamata Masora, that the ceiling downstairs, the beams haven't dipped below 10 tefachim from the floor. Aval motu kishur lamata masara, but if the beams have dipped below the 10 tefach, height margin, motzi amrli, so now Reuben can compel Shimon to cooperate, because he can tell him, look, where is your floor? It's in my residential area. It's in my dira. You're intruding. Amalei lematam yud. If it's within 10 tefach to the ground, that's too low for you to be. Rishusa de dira, that's my place. Right? That's exclusively mine. Because, 10 tefach is the minimum to be considered dira, as we have in, by a sukkah, right? A sukkah has to be minimum 10 tefachim. So once you go below that, you're certainly intruding into my space. And I'm no longer meshubed. You see, Shimon's whole claim, his whole argument here is, look, the main floor is meshubed. It's bound, it's committed to hold up on top of itself, to hold up the second floor on top of itself. Right? It's meshubed to the second floor. But look, he says, now you came down too far. I'm no longer meshubed to you. And now he can force him to cooperate. V'hanamila, this is only true, delay asnu gavi adodi. Shimon's lack of cooperation could only be justified in a case where initially when they divided this home, they didn't do it on condition that in fact they're going to be accommodating each other under these circumstances. Aval asnu gavi adodi, let's say initially they made up, look, is there going to be any sinking issues? Then, you're going to have to come and, rebuild this thing with me. So in this case, he proceeds, Sasri Uboni Bonu, they can force him to, fix it up, demolish and rebuild it. asks the Gemara, "B'chi asno ad b'adi adodi ad kama." Let's say they did conclude this in advance. Okay, we're gonna rebuild, we're gonna renovate, we'll keep an eye on the right. So up until what point? Meaning, how much does it have to sink for this commitment to kick in? Amar Rabban Kamed Rabba. They quoted Mishmei Rav Zutra Beder Rav Nachman. The Amar quoted Mishmei Rav Nachman. Because Shaninu, we take a lesson from the Halacha, which discusses the dimensions of the standard building. Meaning, if you contracted to build a building, how high does the ceiling have to be? So it has to be rumoy. The height has to be kachatzi arkoy, half. You calculate half the length of the room of the house, chatzi arach, by half the width of the room. So you add half of the width to half of the length, and that becomes the height. And that's learned from the Heichal. Rashi brings Kibinyan Heichal, which was 40 amma long, 20 amma wide, and how high was the ceiling? 30. So here as well, if it dips below that, he has a right to ask for a redo. Amalu Rabba, so Rabba responded to these Chachamim who are seemingly quoting this chiddush from Rav Nachman that the ceiling has to be so high, and anything less than that he can complain. He says like this: Abba Minilchu, haven't I already told you? Generally, be careful the way you quote Rav Nachman. Like Titlu Bei, don't hang up on him. Meaning, don't attribute to him meaningless material, buki, sriki, empty containers. But Rav Nachman, don't attribute those things to Rav Nachman. He certainly would never have said such a thing, that a ceiling was expected to be so tall. I mean, Hochem Rav Nachman, actually Rav Nachman gave us a different formula. Ki didari inshi. Whatever is commonly considered a reasonable height. V'kama, how much is that? Amar Rav Huna, v'der Rishua, ki heiche de'ayli yisur reisa. In order to accommodate the height has to accommodate Isurais the Mechoza, this bundle of reeds that they used to bundle up in Mechoza Bahadur and move it around all directions. That much space is considered reasonable. You don't need more than that. Continues the Gemara, Gavra, there was a fellow that have a boni ashisa, achoyre kavi dechavre. So a fellow had kavi, he had windows on his house, on his building. Another fellow was building an ashisa wall right nearby, blocking the light. Amalei kama'afus a light. So he says to me, what do you mean? What are you blocking my light? Making it dark? Amalei, so Shimon responds, Sacharmalachacha. Okay, you know what? I'm going to close up those existing windows, and I'll transplant them to a higher space, a higher place on your wall, which will not be affected by my wall. So sacharnu l'chachacha, I'll plug up these windows, and I'll pay for new windows higher up. V'avidnu l'chakavi l'el mashisoi, or higher than my wall. Amar lei, so Reuben says, what do you mean? Kamar l'el mashisoi, I don't want you opening new windows higher up, you're going to be shaking my wall and it's going to crack it up. So Shimon says, you know what? I'll pay for the whole wall. I'll demolish the entire wall. Ad duchta dekavi, until the point of the existing windows. So I'll start on top, remove that section until the windows, and close up the windows, and then rebuild that section till the top with new windows higher up. Uba ninala, I'll rebuild it. Avidin loch kavi, and I'll create for you windows. On that wall higher than my beyond the reach of my wall. Is that a generous offer? Is that a reasonable offer? Reuben says, no, ashisa mitatoi atiko, this type of hybrid wall. Old wall on bottom, new wall on top, it's not gonna stick, it's not gonna work. So Shimon says, okay, you know what? You have a point. You know what I'm gonna do? Sasarna la adla ara. I'll remove the entire wall, all the way down to the bottom. Uba ninala, and I'll rebuild the entire wall with no windows higher up. Avin loch kavi, big ava. Amar lei, so Reuben says, no. At chada ashisa chadata. Mekule beis atika. One new wall connected to a building with old walls, like Kaima, it's not going to stand, it's not going to stick. Or she says, She'ein tita chadash, new cement doesn't really stick well with old nidbak yafa betita yashin shiyavish kvar. Okay, so I'm not interested. Armalei, so the fellow says, you know what, you have a point. I'm going to be even more generous. Sarna, a little cooler base. I'll destroy you entire. I'll demolish the entire building. I'll rebuild it with windows in the proper place. Fair? Armalei, he says, actually, you know what, I don't want to move. I have no way to live in the meantime. Amalei, he says, I'll rent you a place. Amalei, I'm not interested in moving around. No, so who wins? Amrav Chama. He has a point. Once again, as we said in the previous case, here as well, B'din Kama'akev, you can hold him back. Says the Gemara, but this is simply a duplicate of the previous halacha with the sinking building, where you can't, you know, impose yourself on him. Hainuach, isn't this the same exact halacha? What's the point of repeating it? Right? Hainuach. Vasu lamalis. What's the point of Akamashma, says the Gemara? No, there is a special lesson here. The Avagav lemishtamish. Ela tivna ubeitiv ba'am. Even though this roofing fellow is not really living in this house, it's just a storage for fire, for hay and beitiv, firewood. Still, he can object. He doesn't want to have to move his material around. Continues the Gemara again with two brothers inheriting a property from their father. Hanu beitrei ach. There were these two brothers. The palgi ba de'adadi. They split up a property. Chad matias palido. One fellow ended up with the mansion. Chad matias tarbitzu. The other one took the beautiful garden surrounding the mansion. So the garden fellow went ahead, he started building. He built a wall, a puma das belida, right near the his brother's mansion, blocking his light. Omali, come off this light, look, you're blocking my light. Omali, what do you mean? Did you come in? I'm building on my property, you can't object. Omar Chama here as well, but didn't come, he's right. So if he's been there for a while, he's established himself, you can't just put a wall nearby, but this is fresh, off the press, they've just split it, and he has a right to build, even though it's, despite the fact that it's inconveniencing his brother. Why would this be any different than the following braisa, which discusses a similar case? Shnei Achen, two brothers, Shechalku, split a property, split their father's estate. Echad mehen natal Sadei Kerem. Reuven walked away with a vineyard. Ve'echad mehem natal Sadei Lavan. Shimon walked away with a grain field, next to which is next to the vineyard. And there's an issue of kalayim, right? You can't build plant so close to the vines. So Yeshli lebala Kerem dalat amuiz b'Sadei Lavan. So the vineyard fellow can plant until the end of his vineyard, and he pretty much he's going to obliterate four amuiz into the grain field. Basically, that's where he's going to bring his animals to pick, to process his, to maintain his vineyard. So basically, he spills over a bit into his brother's property. Why? Shalmanas kein chalku. This was understood when they split the property that the Balak Kerem will utilize part of the grain field, just like their father did. So, bottom line, what do we see? That, you know, you have privileges and rights and maintenance you know, claims. So here as well, the mansion fellow can say, look, I need my sunlight. Why are you blocking my Amr Lay? So he says, no, big difference. Hassan, in the case of the vineyard, the Olala Dati, what happened was that Reuven, who took the vineyard, compensated Shimon for that, you know, strip of property that he's, you know, going to be occupying. Aval HaChabar, in our case, with the mansion and the garden, my, what do you mean to say? Loyola Dati? Nobody compensated each other. The chibush of Tanya Askina. We're speaking about silly, deranged people. Why would they agree to such a unbalanced, lopsided distribution of the assets? The high shekel aspelid. The Reuven will walk away with a mansion, $1 million home. The high shekel tarbitz and Shimon walks away with a garden, a measly garden. Loyola ladadi without compensating each other for the vast, you know, difference in value. So how can you assume there was no discussion or they didn't work out the numbers? Armalis, he says, certainly they must have paid each other off. Nihid olu lahadodi. Certainly the fellow who took the mansion, most likely, right, compensated, reimbursed his brother for the, you know, the But it was only Dmei Livni, Kshuri Vahuji, for the added value of the bricks, of the beams, of the small beams, whatever. Bottom line, his structure is worth more, and he paid him the difference. Dmei Avira, La Dati. But he never paid Shimon to intrude on his garden. Right? Yeah, he paid him because he took an expensive piece of real estate, took the structure, as opposed to just a plain measly garden. But he never paid off the garden fellow. He never acquired a strip of property in the garden which would now justify his claim and his objecting to his brother's building there. Ask the Gemara, Velemule Meikara. So, but Reuben, the mansion fellow, can tell Shimon, Meikara is Pelita Pagasli. Initially, when we split it, you gave me a nice mansion, right? With nice sunlight, hashta, but now you're building a wall next to me. Mashvis Leandruna, you're turning it into a dark, dungeon. So, that's not what we had in mind. We split it, we divided it, and we worked out the money. It was in order to walk away with a mansion, but now it's a dungeon. Omarav Simi Barashi, no, it's still a mansion. Shema Ba'alma Palagle. It was called an Espalida. It still is called an Espalida, even though it's not your typical Espalida, which doesn't have much sunlight. But nevertheless, it still maintains its name, its shame. And therefore, you can't insist, you can't object to your brother's building near the windows. We look at Tanya, haven't we found a similar halacha? Reuben approaches Shimon with an offer. I'm selling you a base kurah for a certain size of a field which has the base kurah for size. So even though it doesn't really have that much, even though it's only the size of a lesach, which is less than a kur, higiyoy, sale is a sale. Why? When he offered him a base kur, a field which is called base kur. Who the miskri base kur? In fact, that's what they used to call it. Maybe it used to be base kur. Bottom line is, if it has the name, the title base kur, then even though, in terms of size, it doesn't really have the right size, it works. It's a valid sale. Another example, pardes ani meichaloch. I'm offering you a pardes, which typically refers to a pomegranate orchard. Avavish emboi remayim. So Shimon discovers. The buyer discovers there are no pomegranates growing here. Higiyah, it's still a valid sale. When he sold them a pardes, it was in terms of the title, the name. This property is called a pardes. Maybe it used to be a pardes. Who would describe a pardes as long as it has that name? A third example, kerem ani mechel. I'm selling you a kerem. Even though the buyer fails to find any vines, higiyah, too bad. Because when he sold them a geffen, a kerem, he meant a property which has the name Karen. Vud Miskri Karma, as long as it has that name. So here as well, he purchased the mansion. It's still called a mansion. Says the one, no, me dummy, how could you compare Hasa Matsi Amr Le Mechel Lekeach? There the seller can tell the buyer, Shema Zvinlach, I sold you the name. Hacha Matsi Amr Le. But here, he can tell him, look, we divided our father's estate. Right? I assumed it's going to be functional. Amr Le Adat Adachi Palgi. My mindset was that we divide it, and we each take our own respective portions. Did Irna Bay, that I'm going to live in this place, just like did Doru Avos, just like our parents did. It's an expression, meaning to say, we're taking over, it's carrying over. Whatever our father did, we're going to carry that over. He lived in a beautiful, sun-drenched mansion. And that's what I accepted. I'm not going to take a dark place. Amrule Mar. Yinuka Makshisha. So they responded to Rav Ashi's question, who challenges halacha. How do we explain Rav Chama, who says you can't object to the wall, to the darkening of the mansion? Nardoi, this is a reference to Rav Chama, who was from the resident, was one of the Nardoi residents. Nardoi l'tamayhu. They're following their opinion, which means to say, this is a very an old position of Rav Chama, which is that it doesn't automatically carry over. The father's lifestyle, or I should say the way the father used this property, isn't necessarily going to be the same way the kids are going to have it. So Let's say, you know, the father owned a bunch of fields adjacent to each other, and the brothers now split it up. Right? Reuben took to the east, Shimon took to the west. And their father obviously used to walk through one to get to the other. But they don't have that privilege anymore. They don't have that right. So one fellow cannot access his field by walking through the other one, even though the father did so, unless they discuss and they agree. But you can't automatically assume that their father's access route carries over to the kids. Another example, let's say he's blocking his light. Well, our father had light. Too bad, but now it's starting fresh. You took this property, I took this one. Now we can build freely without any restrictions. Nor ladders, ladder positioning. So let's say he lives down on the bottom and he's living up on top, and he's like to put a new ladder that wasn't there before, or a permanent ladder, whatever the case is, and he says, well, our father used to do so. No. Let's say there's a stream, an irrigation ditch going through one field into the other. The inner fellow can't say, well, I want to continue using your field as access. No. And this is Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel's statement, and he adds by saying, Shmuel added by saying, Vizaruban, be careful. Take this seriously. Shalacha is kvoy, saying this is an established halacha. These halachas are absolute etched in stone. Even though it sounds surprising, but fact is, when you assume ownership, and even though it's a Yerusha and you're taking over from the father, you have to look at it with a fresh lens. You can't just assume things. Rava disagrees. He says all these zechusim, all these privileges, these rights, these accesses, all these things just carry over. Whatever the father had, the children take that over. How shtar they asked me. There was a story about a shtar in the possession of Yisoyim. So their father lent somebody money, okay? And father passed on. The kids have a loan document. Suddenly this fellow, the leiber, produces a tavra, a breaker, which basically means a shaver, a receipt, right? Indicating that he paid up the loan. It only surfaced today after the father passed on. What do we do? Amar Rav Chama. So the Yisayim are underage, right? Under Rav Mitzvah. Amar Rav Chama, Agbuyi L'magbinle. We're stuck, we're in limbo. We can't collect on the loan document because there's a shaver, right? But on the other hand, the mikra likarimle, we don't discard of the loan document, we don't tear it up. We just, leave it in limbo. Why? He explains. We can't collect on it. The nafak tavarle. After all, there's a shofar, which indicates that he paid up. On the other hand, mikra lekarimle, we can't destroy the ishtar. We can't conclude that in fact it was paid up to chigad liyasmi. Let's wait until they grow up, till they become adults, and they'll be able to litigate the case. Dilma maiserai umarle. Perhaps they'll discover some sort of raya to undo the validity of the shofar. Amale rav acha brei derav laravina. Hilchasamai. What's the conclusion? Meaning, do we in fact adopt Rav Chama's halacha? Amar Leis, so he says like this. Remember, we had a whole long list here, all kinds of cases. He says in all these cases, Bekulu Hilchasak Rav Chama, and all previous halachas, we adopt Rav Chama's opinions. Levar Metavra, except for the most recent case of the Shoivar, where he casts doubt on the validity of the Shoivar, because the Zahadi, there are two Edom signed on that receipt. B'shakru l'machzakinu. We don't assume that they're liars. So although these are Yisaimim and etc., but the fact is we have a document which indicates that it was paid up. Mazrutu b'edra Mari Amar. No, he disagrees. B'hanam yilchazuk Rav Chama. Even in this case, we do adopt Rav Chama's opinion. We do cast doubt on this recently surfaced receipt. You know why? It's fishy. Something suspicious. Dimi Isa the Tavar Maliu, if in fact it was a valid Shaver, it should have been produced during their father's lifetime. Why suddenly is it showing up today when there's no father to object? The fact that they didn't produce it today, Shmamina Zuyfa Zaifa is a raya. Then in fact, the Leiva, the borrower, he forged it. It's a concocted document. Says the Mishnah, Koifin Oisois, we have people living in a courtyard. So basically they had houses opening into a front yard. Right? From there they would go into the street, and around the chutzer there's a wall, there's sometimes a fancy gateway with a base shar, a gatehouse on the outside where the guard would stand, That's one purpose. Or another purpose would be to keep the the pedestrians, the street traffic, away from the doorway. They shouldn't intrude on the privacy of the people in the chatzar. So they can sort of compel each other. The people in the chatzar, the local residents, can force each other to contribute to the chatzar fund, chatzar building fund. They can force each other, Lubnai's Beis Shar, to chip in for the Beis Shar, Bedelis, and the doorway and the door of the chatzar for their yard. That's the Tanakhama, Rabban Shimon. Bingamlil Omer isn't so clear cut. Like al chatzeros, you're assuming every chatzar requires a Beis Shar. Not so. Like al chatzeros, requires a Beis Shar. Not every chatzar requires a Beis Shar. We'll see in the Gemara exactly when it does. Now, anybody living in a city has to contribute to the security of the city, right? Kofi noise, live noise, layer. They can force each other to contribute and build for the city chayma, a wall, a lasayim, doors, a briach, and a bolt, a lock. Rav Shimon Leilomer, no, it isn't necessarily so. Loikala royes ruyois, hayorois ruyois loyal chayma, not every city requires a chayma. Only the ones that are need protection. Kamiyei Be'ir, how long is a fellow going to live in town and already be considered a local resident with respect to municipal obligations? Yehei Kan She'ir. Yud Beis Chodesh, answer is 12 months. Kanova Beis Dira, let's say he purchased a place of residence in town, then immediately he turns into a resident, Harihu Kan She'ir Miyad, and he has to contribute. So we learned that the people in the Chatzar are compelled to contribute to the Beis Shar. So you mean a beishar is a positive element in a chatzar? The member of the beishar mal yusei, it's something good. Is that what you mean to say? And therefore, it justifies, compelling all the residents to contribute. V'ha ho chasida. There's a story about a pious man. Dava rogel elio. Dava mishtoi bade. He had a regular audience, regular meeting time with Elio Anavi. And one time, it so happens that Ovid Beis Shar, he built a gatehouse around the doorway to his yard, which kept the people away. V'suloi mishtoi bade, and Elio no longer came to speak to him. Apparently, it wasn't something noteworthy, something commendable. Says the Gemara Lekash, the answer is like this. Depends how the Beis Shar is situated, where it's located, and whether it's going to interfere with aniyim, who come and call out to the residents to help them with stucco. Homagavoy, if the Beis Shar is on the inside of the doorway, so it's like a sort of a semicircle, creating this sort of vestibule on the inside of the chatzar's doorway. So in that case, there's an issue because basically there's a double layer of protection blocking out these sounds from the street, because we're assuming that the gate of the shahr is, of the chatzar, is closed, and beyond that there's another protective wall, right, that semicircle, that Beis Shar. So you will not hear the ani calling in to get stuck. That's a problem. But the case of the Mishnah is speaking where the Beis Shar is on the outside, which basically allows anybody to technically walk into the Beis Shar. It's open. I mean, it's like a semicircle, but it's open on one side, so you can walk in there. And now you're only confronted with a doorway, with a door, a gate between yourself and the inside of the chatzar, which allows it to call in and solicit tzedakah. So that's okay. You might say another way to explain this. Havam Baroi, the Mishnah and the story with Elio Hanavi speaking where the Beis Shar was located outside, the exterior of the chatzar. The Kahashan answers like this. Hadis leidelas. Hadlas leidelas. Depends if it has a door, which would allow the ani to go into the Beis Shar. Ibayisim, another option. Havad iste delas. Either way, it has a delas. The Kasha answers like this. Had isle pesachas. Had lasle pesachas. One has a handle, a door, a handle of some sort that you can actually open the door from the outside. Rashi says like a lock with an embedded key which allows access. It doesn't have that access, then you're having a problem. Same another pshat. Either way, it has a pesach. The kasha answers like this. Depends where the lock and the key is situated, in which direction it's pointing. If it's pointing inward, in which case the fellow outside can't access the area, that's a problem. Whereas the Mishnah is speaking where it's on the outside, which technically allows anybody to open up, walk in, and call in for help. So you have to contribute to the chatzar expenses. Tanya, Rav and Shimon, Ben Gamliel, Eimer, Loi Kala Chatzeres, Ruiz Beishar. Not every situation justifies a Beishar. Rather, Ella, depends where it is. Ella Chatzer, Hasmucha Lushas Rav, the Chatzer is right near the street. So you have the passerby peeking in, Ruiz Beishar, and there Beishar is in place. V'she'ein Hasmucha Lushas Rav, but it's not near the street. You can't force him to build a Beishar, pay for the Beishar. And a Ruiz Beishar doesn't really justify for a Beishar. For Rabban, Rabban disagree. They say in all cases, because Zimnin the Dachi, there's just a rabbi, Luvasu. Although it's not right on the side of the street, still, right? The Bnei Rishis Rabbim sometimes, fill up the street and they're going to, turn to the side and end up standing right near the Chatzar, even though the Chatzar is a little bit inverted from the street, but they'll end up spilling over to the Chatzar and it's going to intrude on the privacy of the Chatzar. So it justifies there as well. Kaifa Naisi missed the year. Now we move over to the city. They make the chayma, etc. But Rabban Shimon Gamliel, he says, no, loy kalayur hayorais ruyois lachayma. Not every city requires a chayma. Rather, el iras mukhal asfar. It's a city right near the border, exposed to the elements, to the. Right? So there, ruyo lachayma. There, a chayma is justified. Vishainos mukhal asfar, but if it's not at the edge of the country, and not exposed to the to the Goyim, Ein Ru'i L'chaimah there, it doesn't necessarily justify a wall. V'Rabban, Rabban disagree. Zimnan the Mikru V'Asi Gaisa, even if it's not, it's not a border town, still, it can happen that Mikru V'Asi can happen that a Gaisa, marauding troops, can come by and rob the city, and therefore, in all cases, a Chaimah is justified. So once we speak about contributing to the Chaimah, how do we distribute the responsibility amongst the residents? Is it equal for equal, or is it as per your wealth, or right? Boy mine Rabbi Lazam Rabbi Yechon. I'm a shaila. Kshein goyvin, when they collect for the chayma, which is meant to protect the residents and their possessions, right? So lefina fashas goyvin, is it sort of a head tax? You have a certain amount per person. Oydil malefish vachmon goyvin, or is it as per your net value? Your monetary worth. After all, that's what you're coming to protect for. So basically, a person who has more to protect should pay more in proportion to his wealth. Amar Lacy said, Lefi Mom and Goven. Yep, that's the way to do it. In accordance with the Momin of a person, which is the primary purpose for building the Chaim altogether, to protect from robbers. Velazar Benini, continue with my son, Elazar Kvaba Masmeris. Knock nails into this. Basically, this is a clear cut halacha and should be adopted all around. Igadamit, there's another version. Boymine Velazar Biachanak, Shane Goivin, when they collect, Lefikiru Batim, Hain Goivin. Oh, is it that the person living closer to the edge of the city, he should pay more than the fellow living inside the city who's less exposed and less vulnerable? Oidum Lefimamim Goivin, or no? It's about wealth and according to net value. In this version, he answered, it's dependent upon location and proximity to the edge of the city. Continues the Gemara of Yehuda and the Sia. He was actually an Amor. He wasn't Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi from the Mishnah. So his name was Rabbi Yehuda and the Sia. Rama the Shura the Rabbanu, when they collected for the local wall, he imposed that obligation onto the Chachamim as well. The Chachamim had to contribute to the wall as well for protection. Rish Lakish objected. Rabbanon, the Chachamim, let's reach into this, they don't need physical protections. Their Torah, their spirituality, affords them full protection. You can't ask them to pay for the wall. The Chassid, as the Pasuk says, Esperim Mechol Yirbi. I count them and they're more numerous than the granules of sand. What does that mean? Asperim Laman. Who am I counting? Ilam al Tzadikim. I'm counting the Tzadikim. Nefishim Mechala. There are more than sand? How can that be? Hashta Kuli Yisrael. Ksibu. Regarding the entire nation of Yisrael, it says, Kechol Asher Svasayam. Compared to the sand, right? Tzadikim Atzma Mechol Yirin. How could the Tzadikim, who are a small percentage of Klal Yisrael, be greater in number than sand? Elochikam. Around the Pasuk means like this. Hashem is saying, Esprim lemaaseim shal tzadikim mechol yirbin. I count the good deeds of the chachamim. They're greater than sand. What's the connection to sand? The point is like this: Uma chol shemot megan aliyam. The kavuchaymer is that if sand at the beach, which is we just said is less in volume than the good deeds of tzaddikim. Still, it can protect, it can push back the yam. Megan aleyam, maaseim shel tzaddikim shem rubin lekoshkin. Certainly, the maaseim of tzaddikim, which are greater, more number, have the ability to protect and preserve the safety of the tzaddikim. Shemaginim aleyam, right? So when Rish Lakish, who responded to Rabbi Danasi and held that the Chachamim are discounted from this obligation, when he came to Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan says, good point, but you know what? Why don't you bring him a rye from Shir HaShirim? My timely, tamely, miha, you could have sourced your concept in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which says, like this. What is that going on? The wall is Torah. My breasts are the, unlike the tower, the watchtowers. What is that? So Torah protects. And the Shadayim, the ones who feed, who provide, who teach, those are the Tamid HaChamim. And they're all protected. The Torah is the Chayma. Right? Torah protects them, and they protect. Like watchtowers, the rest of the nation. So you see that they're automatically protected. Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, the reason why he didn't opt for this pasuk. So look, Rish Rabbah, he had a different explanation like Rabbah on this pasuk. Ani chayim uzuk nesi Yisrael. Chayim is going on Klai Yisrael. Rashi says, compared to a chayma, because they keep away from assimilating with the goyim. A goydrim atzmum, they create sort of a fence around themselves to maintain their holy lifestyle. Shadakam akdolos. What is that going on? Elu Batek Nesis, Batek Midrash, the place of davening, of learning, which feed Klal Yisrael, so to speak, spirituality, and provide them with a Ruchnius Torah experience. Kamigdolos, there are our watchtowers and protect us. The bottom line, according to this approach, it isn't necessarily an indication of Tamid Chachamim being protected, it's just Klal Yisrael is a Chachamim. So bottom line, that's why he went to the other Pasuk to bring down his point. Okay, so in summation, we started with a story of the main floor sinking, where he could not compel the upper fellow to be involved in rebuilding, unless it got to real, drastic, desperate situation. Similarly, we have a person with a mansion, another fellow with a garden. Here as well, he cannot object to the building of the wall nearby. This is all Rav Chama speaking. Then we have the story of the two brothers. Sorry, the middle case was the case where he had the windows, right? And the fellow was blocking the windows, and the fellow offered to rebuild part of the wall, the whole wall, the whole house. No. Then we have the story of the fellow with the mansion and the garden, two brothers. And again, according to Rav Chama, each to his own, you don't have any claims on the other fellow. Rava disagrees. He says, whatever the father did, they just carry over. We have the story again of the shtar with the shaver. Rav Chama put it in limbo, and the maskana was, and all the halachos we passed like Rav Chama, regarding the last case of the shtar, that was a difference of opinion. Next mission, the Gemara discussed the residential dues that are due to be paid by the chatzar's residents, by the city's residents, and we concluded that the chachamim do not have to contribute to the chayma because they are spiritually protected. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.